straight out of the Manchester scene of the late 1980s, Joanna were an up-and-coming band with incredible momentum. They recorded a demo album and went to London in search of a record deal. Unfortunately, they were unsuccessful, and members Neil, Terry, Carl, and Tyrone went their separate ways. However, their demo tape was recently found in storage and now has been released 35 years later as Hello Flower. I chatted to bassist Terry Lloyd about the record and this crazy 3-decades-long wait for Hello Flower's release. Tell me the story. I mean, I know you recorded it. So recorded it in 1989?
Yes, 89 and 90, when we, a long, long time ago. They were just demos, really. They were never meant to go to be released. It was just for us to be trying to get a record deal with. And those demos were recorded in the old days. They were put onto like a quarter-inch tape. A big reel-to-reel tape, whereas everything's just digital now.
Yep.
And they eventually, when the band split up, they just got shelved into, passed from house to house and put it, ended up in someone's loft.
Yeah.
And they found them when they were moving house. And amazingly, they needed baking so that they could be used. I couldn't believe this either, but they needed to be baked in an oven at a certain temperature for so long, as if you cook it all over something. And so that they could be put onto a machine to be able to use.
Okay.
And then they were digitized.
Right. And had you thought about the music in the last 35 years?
Well, we'd always look back on it because we fell out of touch with each other for a short while in the late 90s. And we always knew, we always looked back on them days. It's like, they were the best days. We'd all joined different bands and did over different things. We just looked on it as if it was a shame. Nothing ever happened.
Yeah. So what happened with that?
We shone brightly for a short while, I think, you know. And when it never happened, it hit us. It hit us, I think. And we just eventually got poached into other bands and went on to do different things. And we all went our separate ways.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
You played bass in Joanna?
I'm the bass player, yeah. Yeah, I play bass. Me and Carl were together at first. Carl was 16. He might have even been 15. I was 17. And we were playing around in Widnes in the northwest of England with a couple of older guys. And then we heard the Stone Roses, and we thought, we want to do something like this. I was working with Neil, the singer, and Carl was at college with Ty. And we just sort of got together, and from there we started writing songs, and we spent the next 2 years gigging and recording and trying our best to try and get somewhere. Sadly, it wasn't to be, but...
Well, now it's out.
Never mind, but now it's out, yeah. We're so happy about it. We actually played a gig on Saturday night, just gone in Manchester, and that was just, it was just surreal.
Could you remember how to play it, or do you have to practice?
Yeah, I mean, it just came back as if like that, you know.
Yeah.
Me and Ty have been playing. We've still been playing in different bands, and so we've all still been musicians.
Okay.
So
great.
It wasn't hard to get back into it and reignite the old magic. But our drummer Carl, he lives in Los Angeles, so we were rehearsing without him, which is a bit tough. So we only actually had about 2 or 3 rehearsals last week before the gig, and it just all fell in. It was great. Such fun, it was amazing. The police on the streets are all corrupted. They've got more money than Getty.
Tracks in any way, or they were just mastered?
They were just digitized, sent to the US and mastered. Yeah, we never got a chance to remix them at all. And
do you think you would have changed anything?
On hearing them, no, because they've got like a simplicity to them, I think. I think we would have probably started adding stuff and it would have spoiled it.
Yeah.
It was better just to leave it as authentic as it was.
And I think the rawness of your bass is so upfront, which I think is really strong. I don't know, the vocals are so unhierarchical, like they remind me of the Australian way of singing, that unfiltered,
yeah, it's
just go for it.
that was his style. Yeah, he'd never done anything like that at all in his life when he was 17, 18, and he came down. Man, that's only a young age, but I don't think he'd had any aspirations to be in a band until he met me. Me and Neil worked together, and he'd been listening to a lot of Pink Floyd and Genesis, which is what he was into at the time. And when the Stone Roses and the Happy Mondays came along, he thought, wow, these are bands that are around now that I can go and see live. And he was just, as we all were, we're just working class kids who just never, he'd never sung a note in his life until he, but in, his lyrics were fantastic as well. And he was a great frontman. And he really pulled it off the other night as well. I've just been watching a few videos and his voice was, Neil hasn't sung in a long, long time. Well, the rest of us have been playing a lot in different bands. Me and Ty have been playing together for about the last 8 years, so we were locked in. But Neil, he really went for it, and fair play to him. Well done, Neil.
Do you think that the political relevance of, I'm thinking of like Gardner's World, it's very politically relevant now as well, like the lyrics. How do you feel about that?
It certainly is, and Neil really didn't want that to be released again, that track.
Oh.
And we had to fight for it, and It was probably the only one where he dabbled in a bit of like where his lyrics were more leaning to that way of being politicised. He thought it sounded a bit naive all these years later, but we twisted his arm, and it does sound great. Yeah, it sounds brilliant. That track wasn't actually on the tapes that we found, you know, from the recording studios. That was lifted from an old cassette tape. That was all we had of that. And that track has been taken from that, which is hard to believe. We don't know where the original recordings are of it. And we played it the other night, and we had a guy playing the sax part, and we had a guy on tabla doing the percussion. It sounded fantastic.
No, I think the naivety of the lyrics is actually perfect, because you can say all you want, analyze politically, but that raw feeling about the climate, social climate, mm-hmm. is much more potent and relatable to people. Even if Neil thinks it's naive, I think it's powerful in being simple.
Yeah, well, I'll tell him that. Yeah, that's what we think. Yeah.
In the morning, she's lying next to me.
Manchester changed. Yeah,
but Manchester's grown a lot. A lot of the old venues have closed since we've been playing around there. Places like the Boardwalk, which was a venue back in the early days, they're all just blocked. They're just apartment blocks now. And we used to like swap between where we are now. It's in between Liverpool and Manchester. Liverpool sort of dropped off a bit now. There aren't as many venues, but Manchester's really good place. But all most of the old venues have gone. There's so many bands on the scene. Even the venues in round. Well, Liverpool was great to go and watch bands because everyone just came to Liverpool to play as well. So we were watching bands every week, going out watching all these bands. And then when the Manchester thing kicked off, that was like, wow, this is something we can get involved in. And we were playing gigs all the time. And you'd play a gig on a Monday and then get rung up on the Tuesday and say, do you want to play tonight as well? And yeah, why not? Well, of course we do, yeah. It was a great time. Great time to be alive.
Yeah.
Live music everywhere, yeah. And proper bands and people who were there then, they still, it's like nostalgia for them. They still love it now. There's that many tribute bands around.
And what do you think about the changes to the industry now? Say, if you'd been teenagers releasing this album now or recording, you could have put it on Bandcamp. It could have gone out there. Do you think that's an improvement?
If it had been, if we'd have had it back then, yeah, it probably would. We probably would have, I know, spread the word a bit wider. I mean, we were just thinking of trying to get a deal in Manchester. In them days, there wasn't any social media or anything like that. So I'm sure it would have been an advantage. But through the, like, obviously bands aren't making as much money anymore through their own, through things being played via those sources. I mean, in them days, it would have been Radio 1, which was in the UK, which is just massive, which is what everybody listened to.
And do you think you'll write more music together, maybe?
Yeah, possibly, hopefully. I mean, we're always coming up with ideas, not within this unit because we've only just got back together, but me and Ty have been, we'll come up with something. And we've got other things from the past that we didn't record as well, so we're going to try and reimagine them somehow because we've got these songs that we're trying to think, can you remember that one? And there's no recordings of it or anything, so we'll have to try and we'll come up with something. We've just been talking about doing some recording of a song we played the other night. Hopefully Carl can put the drums down in LA and we'll overdub the rest of it in the UK. So, yeah, there is ideas in the pipeline, which is exciting for us, yeah.
That would be awesome to
keep
hear.
The momentum going.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Be awesome to hear a comparison. Like a comparison of your sound then and your sound now, like with another release. That would be a really cool, like, pairing.
Well, maybe we should try and we should record it and then put it in a loft for like 35 years.
Maybe.
And then release it.
Maybe you're just too forward thinking. You have to wait all that time. Yeah, like a good fermentation.
We'll try and replicate it as best we can. Best we can. Mm. We've still got all the same guitars, so I've still got the same amplifiers and everything, so that'd be cool. Yeah, exciting times for us.
Yeah.
For us old fellas.
I mean, I think your music's probably going to be very nostalgic for people, despite it being new to them because of that association. So that's quite an anomaly to be both new and nostalgic.
It is, yeah. It's weird, situation, yeah. Oh, we were talking to people at the gig on Saturday who saw us the first time around, people we didn't know. We can remember going to watch us and we can't believe it's happening again. But it's great. Cool. Such a buzz around us at the moment. I mean, within ourselves anyway. We're just like so happy like to think that it's happened. It's unbelievable, really. I was trying to explain to someone the other day what had happened and he was looking at me going, are you having a fever dream, Terry? Are you okay? Yeah, man. It didn't sound real, you know. They found these tapes and then they got sent to LA and then Carl's flown in from Los Angeles and we're playing this gig and it did sound quite bonkers. But it has happened.